You're listening to the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com.
Welcome to episode 229 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, part of the Webcast Beacon Network at webcastbeacon.com, covering and promoting the creativity and the creative process since 2007 with webcomics, comic news, tropes, web fiction, and reviews of comic books at, all that stuff. Crazy at webcastbeacon.com. I'm Fess of ArgerComic.com, and with me, we have Mark Savory of AutumnLake.com.
Well, hello there.
We have Kelly Turnbull of ThePunchlineIsMachismo.com, which is manly guys doing manly things. Welcome back.
Hello.
And this week, we're going to be talking about ending your comic. With us, we have a couple of guests with us to help us out with that. We have Karen Kez, or Kezhound, from awaroftwinds.com and What It Takes. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Not the War of the Winds.
Very good. You're learning, Fess.
Yes. I had rewatched, what was it, PenguinCon 2010, the video.
Yep.
Oh, I love that video. it's so fun. And we also have Tom Brazelton from TheaterHopper.com. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much.
Did I say that right?
It's Brazelton, but I've gotten to the point now where I just don't bother correcting people.
Brazelton.
I have one of those names, too.
Yep. It's like Razzle or Dazzle. Brazzle.
Savory. Actually, I just answer to anything.
You should probably do that, like Karen, Karen Kezhound, Howard. And you could be like Tom Razzle Dazzle Brazelton.
I like to go by RD for short.
Oh, all right.
Or EU.
All right. So we've had Kez on the show before a couple of times, and I don't think we've had Tom. You haven't been on the show before.
I have not.
So which means
thanks for having me.
Which means you get to go first and telling us what your comic is about.
Oh my goodness! Well, do you have 30 minutes? No, no, my it won't be that long. I promise. My comic is called Theater Hopper. It's the quickest way to describe it is it's Penny Arcade for movies. But it's basically just a gag comic about movies. Whatever's new in theaters, I make fun of it. I've been doing it since 2002, and I'm kind of drawing it to a close a little bit later this year. So
2002, really.
Yeah,
that's
a long haul.
It is
quite a while.
Longest job I've ever had.
So, what's the motivation to stop? Are you just like tired of it, or you have something else you want to move on to, or you're just like, all right, this is a good place to go out?
All right. We'll get to that in just a second, though.
Oh, okay.
I do want to go ahead, Kez. You can reintroduce your comics as well, because every podcast is potentially somebody's first podcast.
Alrighty. So, The War of Winds is a comic I've been working on for 8 years now, as of this month. It's an epic fantasy comic, kind of like cross-world sci-fi. It's everything, and it's based on a novel that I wrote, so it's obviously a very long story. Mm-hmm. And then What It Takes is a post-apocalyptic martial arts adventure that is totally unrelated to The War of Winds, and it's a comic that, frankly, I have a lot more fun making.
Well, awesome. And we're going to be talking about basically ending one's comic. We obviously have Tom has been looking at ending Theater Hopper, but which comic are you looking at ending, Kez?
The War of Winds.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, well, let's
go. Is that just because Fess can't pronounce it most of the time?
Damn it. You know, Fess, it is all your fault, man. No, that's not the reason why, Mark.
So, how long ago did... Well, when did you start War of Winds?
April 26th, 2004.
Okay, so not as long ago, but...
Now, Tom beat me by 2 years. That is right. Seriously impressive.
Now, I think there's a difference here. I think we have one that's a story and one that's, well, not a story. And so, but you're actually going to be finishing your War of Winds story, correct? Or are you just giving up on it?
Not in its present format, no.
So that's
that cryptic enough for you?
Okay, so when you set out to do War of Winds in 2004, you're wanting to end it, and you're probably, and it's from what it sounds like, you're probably not going to be able to end it how you originally envisioned. Is that correct?
No, it's not. When I first started the story, my goal was to get to a certain chapter and then to just say, look, I've done it. I did it. That's enough. I'm good.
Okay.
And so then I got there and I thought about just, you know, keeping on doing it. I was having fun. I felt that I'd grown a lot as an artist. And then I calculated how much longer it would take me to finish at my current pace, and it ended up being another 17 and a half years. Ooh. And so I'm looking at that, and I'm just, you know, I thought that I had climbed that mountain, but in reality, it was just a boulder, and I was still looking up at that mountain.
Wow.
And so to continue this journey, I just don't know if I have it in me anymore.
Okay, so you said this is based off of a writing you had, right?
Yes.
Now, is the writing complete?
Yes.
Okay. So, wow. How many pages is the writing? I gotta ask.
I think it was about 400 single spaced. It was quite long, and right now I'm only about 150 pages into that. So it's, I don't know what I was thinking. I was a senior in high school, all right? I do not judge me by the actions that was, like, way back then. I don't know what I was thinking.
Oh, yeah, you probably, like, underestimated how much storytelling takes place in a comic, right?
Well, when I
never apologize for ambition.
Yeah.
When I started out, like, the only comics that I'd ever really read were Calvin and Hobbes and Prince Valiant, and I wanted to do something like Prince Valiant, where it was almost more of a storybook, you know, a paragraph of text, here's a picture. And then I realized that I liked more of the sequential art style, and then it just started taking longer and longer and longer per page. And so now I'm at this point where I like what I'm doing, but it takes forever.
And as we go along with everything, if anybody has any questions in our vocal chat room, feel free to go ahead and ask them, and we'll bring them up as appropriate and relative as they may be. I am posting a couple of links to our guests' URLs in the chat if you'd like to go ahead and check them out. So you have War of Winds, and let me bring that up because I got What It Takes on my screen. Are you satisfied with like you said, you got to a chapter and then you were gonna end. What is your fan base, your readers feel? But have you been open about this? Your desires
to
end it?
I've tried to always communicate how I'm feeling with the readers, because if there's one thing that pisses me off, it's when a creator just suddenly vanishes and you can't find anything about what's going on or why they stopped. I hate that. I mean, I think that defeats the purpose of having a webcomic. So I've been pretty open about what I'm thinking of doing with the story and where I want to end it and why I'm ending it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, every day I change my mind. I'm at this point where I've got a plan for, okay, I'm going to stop in this many pages at this point, and then from then on it's going to be this format, and I'm not going to keep to this update schedule. And then the next day I wake up and be like, you know, I'm really looking forward to drawing this page, and I can't wait to get there, and I need to make up my mind. Oh, my gosh.
So are you losing the passion for the story, or it's just become too much as work?
Neither. I still love the story, and the work has actually, you know, each page used to take me upward to 12 hours. Now I'm down to like 4.5, 5. So it's even going faster. It's just that when I compare the War of Winds, the readership, how much people comment, how they like it, the discussions about it in the forum, I compare that story that is my baby that I've been working on for 8 years to What It Takes, which I've been working on for 2 years and has a pretty shallow story, much simpler. I can update it 3 or 4 times a week, and I just compare these two and the success of one versus the other. Mm-hmm. And it's like it's a time sink. The War of Winds is a time sink. I love it, but it's just not going anywhere. It's been steadily losing readers despite the art getting better, despite what I thought was getting into cooler parts of the story.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden it just, like, tanked. Mm-hmm. And
it seems like funny kind of stories, like, you know, the more lighthearted stuff is very, like, non-denominational, that it just has, like, more potential for, like, a huge audience. And it's like, you know, you can take that to the extremes. It's why, like, you know, you get stuff like The Oatmeal getting, like, millions and millions of viewers, and you know, stuff like Lackadaisy or The Meek doesn't, you know, see as much success as, like, success in terms of, like, sheer numbers.
Yeah.
Well, part of it is, I think, is the more of the challenge of story comics as web comics in general. I don't know how your comic reads, but is it maybe more like maybe people are coming back and reading a bunch at a time? Is it more like reading for the archives? Or
Are we talking the War of Winds or Kelly's comic?
War of Winds.
I think the major problem with it is how the story has evolved over 8 years. I mean, if a new reader comes to this work, first they're looking at upwards of 400 pages of graphic novel style. That is a lot of time.
Right.
They're also looking at 2 or 3 years of absolute art suckage in the beginning of the story. And despite, you know, my best attempts to provide concise synopses of, you like, you don't even read this stuff, just read the synopsis and then jump to this chapter. I mean, people don't want to do that. They look at the beginning pages and then they're like, this is crap. I'm not even going to try reading. And I think it's an insurmountable task for the great majority of readers. And the few readers that I still have for that comic are ones that have stuck with it for years.
Okay. Now, I'm going to jump over to Tom now.
Hello.
So you've been doing this comic for nearly 10 years.
Yes.
Or for 10 years. What is it? Okay. So we have, and this is, it's not based as a story comic, though. As when I did a review of volumes 1, 2, and 3, you were starting to do more storylines with the characters themselves versus, you know, essentially one-off commentaries of movies or a few strips at a time of particular commentaries. So it's a different beast altogether than say a strictly story comic. Okay, so you got you're deciding to finally, it's time to end it. What sparked your desire to end it?
I don't know if I had really a desire to end it. I was just, like, one day I woke up and I'm going to end this.
you will end!
I have a burning rage to quit. No, it was more like necessity was part of it. I'm a father. I've got 2 young kids. And I don't bring that up to, like, go, it's their fault, you know, because, I mean, there was a time when I was going to night school. I had a 3-year-old in the house, and I was producing 3 comics a week. And, you know, I've got the school out of the way, I've got another kid in the mix, but I'm down to, like, 1 comic a week. And it's difficult to produce that, frankly. And it's mostly because I think the art of the comic has gotten to a point where I feel like I can't make improvements. Or more accurately, I feel like I can't improve my process. It's become, you know, much like Karen said, it's become such a time sink that you just go, like, well, am I getting out of it as much as I'm putting into it? And I don't know. I mean, I still enjoy the work. I love coming up with jokes. I love interacting with the fans. I couldn't be more lucky to do what I've been doing for the last 10 years. But at a certain point, it just kind of feels like, you know, am I spinning my wheels a little bit? Mm-hmm. You know, 10 years doing anything is a long time. And, you know, I'm not really even going to that many movies anymore. So the comic then ostensibly is not so much about movies as it is about the marketing of movies. which becomes, to my sensibility, slightly fraudulent. You know, I mean, marketing is a component of films, and fan reaction is a component of, you know, all this. It's all tied together. Mm-hmm. But when it becomes exclusively about one thing, then it's like, well, the comic isn't as, you know, quote-unquote multidimensional as it could be, and that's just a lost opportunity. So, you know, you combine all these factors together, and you just go like, well, maybe this isn't, maybe not the best use of my time. I don't know.
Yeah.
Have you, do you have a question mark?
I was wondering, did you have another comic you want to do, or are you just sort of giving up the whole schmear?
I don't know. You know, I feel like I'm focused on Theater Hopper right now, and I set a really long timeline for me ending the comic. I announced it back in January. I said, hey, comic's ending in August, and it's going to end on the 10-year anniversary of the comic because the obsessive compulsive in me needs that.
You know, otherwise, it's all in vain.
Right. I was talking to somebody else about it, and I view it like this. I mean, like, I've been debating ending the comic for maybe the last year and a half. And if I quit after 9 years, if I stopped producing the comic after 9 years, I would have, in my own mind, I would have been like, well, you quit. But if I got to 10, it'd be like, well, you finished.
There you go.
I like that logic.
So what was some of like your fan base, your readers? What were they on board, or what was their reaction to your announcement?
I've gotten nothing but support, which has been nice. Although that makes it sound like they're excited for me to end the comic.
Finally,
yeah. Now I can start reading Penny Arcade again, I guess. I don't know. No, people were supportive of the decision, surprisingly so, and actually like. The first few days after I announced I was ending it, I'm like, I think I'm making a mistake because people are really on board with it. And what's been interesting, actually, is that the traffic is starting to uptick a little bit.
They have to get it while it's there.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I mean, the traffic's been going down, but it's kind of leveled off in the last few years. So I feel like I've got this hardcore group who's into what I'm doing. That's great. You know, I think 10 years of comics becomes daunting to a new reader. Even if it's Gag-A-Day based, mm-hmm. you know? They're like, yeah. I've got, like, I think, I don't even know how many comics I have in the archive. I know I have, like, 2,000-some blog posts, and I think I have, like, 1,200 to 1,500 comics. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
So, you know, who's going to go back and go, like, I'm going to start from the beginning? Some people do, and God bless them. But most people don't. So,
Or there's Dave Willis, where he, I like the characters. I'm just going to make a whole other comic with the characters that are kind of like the characters.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. They've been very nice about it.
Okay, that's good. Well, that's good.
Yeah, and I've been going around kind of going to conventions, and people are like, hey, you know, I'm really sorry you're ending the comic, but what's really been rewarding to me is they've been telling me I'm doing it the right way. Because, again, to Karen's point, where somebody ends their comic and they just disappear, and you're like, what happened? Why?
Did they die?
And I don't, you know, I've experienced that, having read comics for the last 10 years and, you know, being really invested in a story, and then somebody just goes away. And I don't want to put it out there that, like, no creator owes their audience anything. Mm-hmm. I want to make that perfectly clear. They are free to do with their comic what they will. I just know, for me, I never really appreciated it. And it would just be nice to know that everything's okay, and now I can think about something else. And I wanted to at least do that for the fans. As much for the fans as for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I got to have my own mourning process here. You know, I got to be able to let go at the same time you guys are letting go. So, mm-hmm. you know, we're all going to let go together, and then, you know, we can focus on other things. But to just go like, yeah, I'm done, it seems really insensitive to the people
right.
who supported
Definitely.
Years.
I'm just picturing your comic as like a paper lantern now that, like, you and all your fans are just going to actually, like, raise off into the air.
Poetry of that.
Yeah.
Every single tear.
So do you think you would do something else, another comic or another format, maybe something that would fit your time better? Or,
you know, I'm toying with it. I feel like... I was talking to somebody about, like, well, you know, they're like, why don't you just do your comic in black and white? Because, like, anymore, I can pencil and ink a comic in a couple of hours. Mm. It's the coloring and the shading. That's a pain in the ass for me, and I've never gotten any better at it.
That's my favorite part. It's like, I don't have to draw it anymore.
Yeah, I'm awful.
I'm with Fess on that one.
That's where you hire Fess to be your colorist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would imply that I have money.
Oh. Well, Fess is happy to take on another project.
No, no, not unless it, not unless it, not unless it pays, or I can explain it.
I mean, like, if I went, I had somebody say, "Well, why don't you do it in black and white?" You know, so that way you're not throwing out the brand and what you've built for the last 10 years. And I feel like, well, that's a very pragmatic solution towards content creation. But at the same time, I don't want Theater Hopper to become something that is less than what it was, mm-hmm. and I still don't want to chisel away at it. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I feel
point artistically. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I feel like the effort it takes to make like a black and white comic that like looks good as a black and white comic, like to get the right like line weights and tones and kind of like that, you know, like heavy line art shading. Like, it ends up taking just as long as it would like coloring
Definitely.
It.
Well,
there is and no. I mean,
yeah.
Here's my attitude about it. It's like, My black and whites are very, very simple, and I Photoshop the crap out of my comics, so you know, that's where all like the extra whiz bang comes from. So right. If I went to black and white, it would just be like, well, here's this watered down version of something you used to like.
Yeah, I mean, a proper grayscale comic is, you still got to have a palette for consistency and whatnot, and sometimes what I guess. Grayscale comics that do a well enough job that where it's a little bit easier. It's when you work with a limited palette that you don't have to worry about all these different variances. Girlbot, Intrepid Girlbot, uses a limited palette, which she actually had to expand a bit because she needed more variety, but she doesn't have to worry about... It's mostly worrying about shades and consistency. It's not a wide range of colors, but I'm saying it can be not as complicated as full color, but it still can take a lot of thought and work. I'm not discrediting grayscale comics, and if you have like a strictly black and white comic, there's a lot more to think about than just making line art.
Well, that's it. Like, I'm working on another comic right now. should be going faster than it is, but it's, like, just finding time to do it. But it's, like, it's very, like, it's not even the grayscale that's, because, like, I'm kind of adding grayscale to it now, but originally it was just, like, all right, just going to be, like, black and white, like, cross-hatching and stuff like that. And it's more of, like, kind of a Western thing. And, you know, it probably takes me longer to do a good-looking black-and-white page of that than it does to do, like, a color page of Manly Guys. And, like, I hate what Manly Guys looks like without color because it's not made to be looked at black-and-white. Like, it looks like a coloring book when there's no color on it. It's just, like, you know, not uniform line art, but it's, you know, it's just all, like, white line. It doesn't follow that kind of, like, 70-30 rule of, you know, doing black-and-white art. Where it's right. Like 70% of the page is one tone and 30 is the other.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me it would just be straight black and white. I mean, I look at comics like, you know, White Ninja or XKCD or Chainsaw Suit. It's not complicated, and yeah. They do well.
White Ninja's great.
Yeah, but the other thing to consider though is that you have nowhere to hide.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my comics have been it's been a shell game for 10 years. If I don't hit you with the writing, I'm going to hit you with a visual. And if I can't hit you with a visual, then this one just sucks and we're on to the next one, you know what I mean? So it's like with black and white, either you're hitting your marks on the art, or, I mean, you really have less room to maneuver, I think.
Karen just posted a link to an artist... who really does black and white well. And, like, there's more to take in consideration. If you just look at this is what you really... If you want a really good... That has weight to it. And, of course, you know, like a newspaper strip is not like this, of course. And that's a different beast. But, you know, when Karen is talking about it, you know, she has a graphic novel. She has a full-page thing. This is when black and white is done well. If you just have line art, it your eye is going to be a lot of people's eyes are going to be really lazy. You know, and there's I'll give props to out there. We keep bringing this up. That's a black and white comic that does a strip well. I've even gone on record to say that Doc Rat is a black and white comic that does it well. I mean, it's a lot simpler than this link we just gave you, but it does have knowledge of using negative space and inverted black to white. There's a lot more thought put into it that makes it more dynamic, more interesting for your eye. It's basically the point is it's not as simple as you would think. Just don't color it. Well, if you want it to look good,
then it just looks half-assed.
Yeah,
my art.
This is kind of like totally off topic, but if there's a really good book for like doing like just kind of this kind of like tonal work and stuff, it's called like Framed Ink, and it's one of the best that I've seen for just sequential art. Like I think it's done by a DreamWorks storyboard guy, and so it's like part, you know, it's any kind of sequential art. Like it's for storyboards and it's for comics, but it's like it's an amazing book, and it's got this whole section on even just like, you know, laying out the components of a page so your eye just like moves through it, like, you know, exactly as you know at the speed you need people. It's like amazing stuff. But yeah, that's Framed Ink if anyone wants to like look into it.
All right.
I'm adding it to my wish list now.
If you'd like to write up a review of it, I'll certainly post it too.
Yeah.
So we're going to go ahead and take our first break, a lot longer in than I meant to. So we'll have a shorter second segment here. But we're going to go to break, and we'll be right back.
This is The Fum.
You have a beard, and you're wearing a tie. There's really no reason why we can't be men friends, men friends, men friends, men friends.
Then I see this big guy in a hockey mask. It's Friday, gonna get killed on Friday. Everybody's hacked a band, they're bleeding Friday.
Oh, you rich mother. You don't give a about me or anybody.
The Funny Music Project at thefump.com. thefump.com.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network and is hosted on the Rampage Network. Follow us on Twitter at Webcomic Beacon. Email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 1-320-310-0922. Love the show? Please grab the iTunes or RSS feed. We're also on Stitcher.com with Stitcher Smart Radio, an on-demand service where you can stitch podcast and radio show feeds together for your own personal streaming service. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity in the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic books, news, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
So let's trim that. Save that. All right, so looks like we are back. This is the Webcomic Beacon podcast at webcomicbeacon.com, part of the Rampage Network at rampagenetwork.com. And let's see here. We've been talking about ending one's comic with Karen Howard and Tom Brazelton. Tom Razzle Dazzle Brazelton.
Thank you.
I'm serious. Use that.
I would, but except that it's got this stigma in college where they. That's a longer story.
You could be a magician. You could be a magician with that name. There we go.
I can't get into it. It's college. It's all Chinatown.
Right. All right.
It's Chinatown.
So, all right, here we go. We have, we've talked about coming up with the decision. So now I want to talk about specifically of how these two plan to end their comic going with Karen. As you said, you have this big written story already.
Mm-hmm.
How are you planning to come to an end for what you need
I'm to? Going to finish the next chapter because I promised everyone that I would get to the introductory chapter for these two characters that were in a prequel that I made. Okay. And so people liked them and that they bought the book and everything. So I'm like, I'm going to get to that point. And then after that, I'm just going to offer the novel as a PDF, the rest of it, for anyone who wants to read it. And if anyone doesn't, then I'm just going to give them an entire synopsis of events that will happen up until the end of the story.
Are you going to – I was basically going to ask that if you're going to basically sell an ebook.
I'd really like to. I'm going to only offer the PDF. Like, it's not going to be on the site. They're going to have to email me, and it's going to be like a private thing. I'm not going to let people just download it whenever they want to. In an ideal, completely perfect, awesome, awesome world, I will finish revising it because I've been revising it for quite some time now.
Okay.
And start shipping it off to publishers and stuff. I have no idea about, you know, half of it's already online as a comic. What does that do with like who's got rights? And,
oh,
and
you
publishing?
Know,
I wouldn't, I've got no clue.
I wouldn't really worry about it because
about it.
Well, I know. This is my thought process on this. It's like, because it's not the full story. You know, I don't see it trying to interfere with a complete work. It is but a taste, and it's also a different beast, especially since it's not finished. I think it could or should only help a pitch, and it'd be really interesting to know your what happens with this, and then we can, you know, give updates and say, hey, this is how Karen's doing it, and it seems to be working out. Hopefully, to be working out. But yeah.
The only reason I even started the comic was to help me better revise the work. And so I've been, like, revising it for a long time now because now I'm more focused on the comic than I am on the revision process. Uh-huh. And so it's gotten even in the way of my original goal of getting the book published. It was never meant to be a graphic novel. I had no idea what I was doing when I started. And it's quite obvious to any new reader.
I've
taken all those lessons from this comic, and I've applied them to what it takes. And what it takes is just, yes, I love working on it so much more.
You need to sell copies of the book now because it'll make your comic like the most elaborate advertisement, like, you know, like 8 years in the making.
Yeah, it'd be... just putting together an ebook and seeing how that can even if you could get it into an actual physical print, that'd be awesome. But you know, these days ebooks are where it's at.
Definitely. I mean, I've been doing that a lot of that type of stuff for what it takes. Like, I offer downloadable PDFs that people have to pay for, and people are definitely willing to buy them. And I think an ebook would work great, especially if you could include original illustrations to break up that text. Mm-hmm. And it's not like I'm short on illustrations of these characters doing stuff.
Right.
400 pages to pull from.
And that I think helps out a lot. I think a lot of people, even people that are in web fiction, an added illustration just to help break up the text, I think helps a lot.
A lot, definitely.
There was a book I bought off of like Lulu or something like that recently because it had a Jenny Everywhere story in it. So I had to have the art because I saw that there was an illustrator credited. It's like, I gotta have that. And yeah, it's basically it's illustrated stories, and so they every once in a while, I think that can be more tapped than it is right now. And hey, if maybe you could do an audiobook, Karen.
Yeah.
About your story.
I could listen to it while I work.
You know, I've had people approach me for that, and that didn't end well. So
really?
I'm kind of a bit burned on the whole audiobook thing.
Was it we were professionally approached or amateurly approached?
No, it was some guy that I met at a convention. And when I told him that I wasn't really interested because I didn't have the time to put forth at that. I mean, I was finishing up my master's. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to hurt his feelings, but apparently I did. And bad stuff happened. So I'm just not even – no. I will not even consider an audiobook at this point in my life.
Okay. Hang on. I just got a little screwed up and I have to reconnect a vocal.
All right. Internet drama for the win.
I think,
Internet drama.
All right. So, well, that's too bad that something like that. Oops.
Yeah, every time you remember that the internet is like a long exercise and like stepping on eggshells, it's, you know, it's I mean, you've been doing this for longer than I have. I've just been hanging out on the internet.
I've come across some people that I'm like, I'm so glad I met you. And then some people where I'm like, I wish to avoid you for the rest of my existence. And, you know, no matter what, both types just keep coming. Welcome to the internet.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, I always try to keep stuff as, like, level-headed as I can when, you know, like, when people kind of, like, start picking at, because, like, you know, you get people, like, I feel, whenever I do panels on kind of, like, webcomics and stuff, I'm like, okay, the biggest thing to remember is, like, if there is, like, there is always room for, like, misinterpretation, like, you will always have to, like, take that chance. And I feel like when I start getting people who are kind of like jumping down my throat for something, it's like just try to keep it as civil as possible, because like I just have to think, like, if this was a conversation that was happening in real life, it wouldn't be this heated.
Yeah, your readers, I've sometimes expanded the comments down there, and I'm like, oh my gosh, people, it is a comic, it is a work of fiction. Mm-hmm. What is your problem?
Well, like, the whole point of this, I mean, speaking of ending comics, I'm getting, like, kind of burnt out on this arc, because I've realized that, like, you know, it's fulfilling to do a storyline with, like, you know, just totally original content, and it's fun to do, like, a gag-a-day joke comic, but when you're doing, like, a gag-a-day kind of pop culture comic in a storyline, then it's just, like, the least satisfying thing, because you're like, okay, so now I've put all this effort into it, and what can I do with it? Like, it's, you know, other people's characters, and it's, you know, just... I don't know. It's unsatisfying, but like the whole point of the arc was like, you know, I spent a lot of time on DeviantArt growing up, and it was just kind of making fun of that whole, like, just that whole practice that, like, you know, you can name any character and you'll find a version of them online that's been totally like bishified, and it's you'll be like, oh, I'm looking for pictures of Guile, and you'll find, like, this is my story where Guile and Viggo hold each other and cry in the snow. It's like, I don't think you like Guile. It was making fun of, like, that kind of stuff, and then I have people, like, jump on in the comments, they're like, you know, you're racist against Japanese people. It's like,
what?
Goodness. So anyway, moving on to Tom.
Yeah.
Hello.
Tom Razzle Dazzle Brazzleton. Sorry, I gotta say that now. I have to say it. It's a thing. So we have a question for you. Isn't Tom actually quitting because he's just so intimidated by how awesome Multiplex is?
God, I swear. Gordon's not gonna be happy until he trolls every interview I do.
Oh, it is Gordon. Hey, Gordon. Gordon does Multiplex, the webcomic Multiplex at multiplexcomic.com.
Yes. Am I quitting because I'm intimidated by how Multiplex is? Yes. That's exactly it.
So there we go. You too can whore yourself out on the vocal chat's question system. There we go.
Gordon just gets me in a way that no one does. He cuts right to the core of me, and he knows all my secrets. So, yeah, no.
He cuts deep, man.
Yeah.
So, how are you planning on bringing Theater Hopper to a close?
You know, I would say about I'm winging about 70% of it.
Okay.
I have an idea what beats I want to hit, I gave myself such a wide berth between saying I'm ending it here, you know, announcing the ending and when the ending actually occurs. I would say I finished up quote unquote act one, although I never plotted anything out.
I've done that too. I've looked through my archives and was like, that's a chapter.
Yeah.
After the fact.
I feel like, there's just a few things that I have to do with individual characters so that the audience knows they're quote-unquote okay.
Mm-hmm.
Theater Hopper, in many respects, has been about Arrested Development. that people are dressing up in costumes and going to movies and talking about movies and nothing else and not really having any kind of, multi-dimensional existence. So my lead characters are talking about starting a family. I have some side characters who, had a very kind of will-they-won't-they relationship, and they've moved forward there. I've got a couple tricks left in the bag. And, I've got it in my head. I know where it's going to go.
You know, it would be the perfect opportunity to end it with, like an American Graffiti style, this is what happened, and this is what happened.
Shovel House, yeah.
He went missing in Vietnam.
One panel comics, and he died in a fire. I had to advance the storyline between, quote-unquote, Act 1 and Act 2 to get things caught up to, right now, because I'm going to be doing a bunch of Avengers comics.
Awesome.
Because, it's kind of unavoidable. And I've done, for the last two Iron Man movies, I've had my main character dress up as cardboard Iron Man. He just goes out in a cardboard costume. And people love it. Inexplicably, they love it. So I'm like, well, I can do it because Avengers is out. And I kind of want to, because I've been doing, kind of this ham-fisted drama up to this point, and now I just want to tell a few jokes before I stop. So, I actually, I skipped over basically 4 months of time. And in the blog post, I'm like, yeah, I don't know, some stuff happened. Nothing important, basically. So... I guess that leaves the door open if I ever want to come back and examine what happened during those missing 4 months. They ate a lot of Cheetos. Something.
It's like, that shirt used to be white.
Right.
All right. So, is the comic going to actually... Well, you're likely going to be ending the comic with more of a character-driven storyline versus movie pop culture... sort of thing. Do you have like a grand finale sort of somewhat planned or so?
No, but I had somebody suggested to me a really good idea, and that's to have a bunch of other webcomic artists come in and just do basically one shots. Kind of their last round the block with my characters, I guess, and just kind of throw those in with the regular storyline. Not continuity, but just kind of like, and here's this funny thing over here. So I think I might do something like that. I don't know how much of this I want to give away, I guess.
I guess I could throw another idea. If you're going to somewhat do that, you could have the characters go to a party. You could probably have other people do things where they interact with your characters or your characters at a party to sort of make it, maybe not necessarily canon, but sort of kind of blended a little bit. Just an idea. Because it doesn't sound like...
Do like the Muppet movie, where at the very end they meet Orson Welles and he gives them a movie to direct.
Right. Or, what was it, the last Muppets movie where, what's his name? Shows up for no reason. Mickey Rooney just is there.
Yeah.
Thanks for reading the comic. What the hell is Mickey Rooney doing in here? I don't know. I've got a couple ideas. I actually have an idea for some of the fictional characters. What might do something with them in the future? But
right.
I don't know. I feel like, I feel like I have to get past these Avengers comics first, and then I can actually settle okay, seriously, now we're really, we're entering the third act or something.
We're gonna talk a little bit more on methods of ending in the third segment. We're going to go ahead and take our last break. Karen does have to get going. So, Karen, thank you very much for coming on the show and sharing your heart and soul with us.
Thanks, Fess. I had a great time.
Excellent. And you can... once again, check out Kez's comics, The War of Winds, at warofwinds.com. And What It Takes, you can find at the same location, because I don't know if there's a separate URL for that.
Yeah, everything, all the links are just on warofwinds.com.
All right, and there it is, and there you have it. Karen, once again, thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back after this break song.
Break your song. Break
your
song.
No, not yours.
Break your song.
I'll pick something.
Sorry.
It's not his first time in the building. Wonders just what makes that smell. He says hello to his mom's mom. She always has something to tell. Life, I tried to know what I could. Even when people said that's not always good. The troubles and strife, lost faces and friends. But it all makes sense. It all makes sense. Ago, there was a roommate. He stayed quiet and seemed small. They always said he used to be great. Lots of trophies on the wall. Life, I tried to know what I could. Even when people said that's not always good. The troubles and strife, lost faces and friends. But it all makes sense. It all makes sense.
That was It All Makes Sense at the End by Jeff McDougall, found at musicalley.com by Mevio. So for those that may be new listening to the show, we try to do a song at like the third break, or second or third break for the webcomic begin. You usually try to tie it into a topic of the show using musicalley.com or the FUMP, even the Funny Music Project. And I haven't heard anything bad about those, so I'll keep using them.
I can't stop listening. I don't know if you've heard it, but it's the song "Actual Cannibal Shia LaBeouf" or the Shia LaBeouf song or something.
Oh my god! I've been getting that song from people for the last like 2 weeks. I've got a thing in my comic where my characters beat him up on a regular basis. So everyone's like, "Hey, have you heard this song?" I've heard the song. I've heard it and I love it. Don't get me wrong.
Well, you should probably make a comic about it just so everybody knows, and sending it to you.
I actually just met Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, really? Did he know about your comic?
No.
Well, that's
okay. This is a jacked up story, and I'll try and tell it quick. But
okay.
I'm on Artist Alley. I'm in row O, table 2. And on Friday, everyone's like, "Hey, I heard Shia LaBeouf is here." Which the people who know me is like, "That's kind of funny, right? Because you hate Shia LaBeouf." I'm like, "Okay, you know." So my first reaction is, you know, baloney. And I start confirming with people on Twitter, oh, yeah, he's here. Okay, well, where is he? Because he's not in the program guide anywhere. Finally, I get a text that says, like, he's at table 022. He's down the aisle from me. And I had, like, all the color went out of my face. Because I'm like, oh, no. Because my banner on it has one of my characters holding up a sign that says, stop Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I'm like, if he sees this, he'll punch. He's punched people for less. You know?
He has?
But now I'm also in the position where I'm like, well, I gotta go say hi, you know? And went down there and I got a picture with the guy, and it was positively surreal. And I didn't give him copies of my books or anything, and I didn't see him the rest of the weekend. But like, where else does that happen?
But you know,
does he still know about your comic or not know?
No, I don't think he does. Although Ryan Somer from Looking for Group and what's the other one?
Least I could do.
Thank you. Least I could do. He went down and there to say hi, and Shia's like, "Hey, I read Least I Can Do." So I'm like, "All right." So he's at least aware of web comics. That's kind of wild. So I don't know. Maybe somebody passed one along to him, but I didn't hear anything about it. People were telling me, "Go get your banner signed." I'm like, "There's no scenario on earth where I can go do that and not look like a complete jerk."
Like, well, you don't actually hate him, do you?
No. Well, you mean.
I mean, it's like the comments that I have more respect for the dude after he made some comments about the last Indiana Jones and Transformers movie, basically all but acknowledging that they're bad movies.
Man, that's Monday morning quarterbacking to me. Here's my opinion about him. I felt like Hollywood put a lot of attention on him, and they were calling him the next Tom Hanks. You remember that for a while? And he started buying into the hype, and he started acting like a douche. So he's done a lot of jerky things, if you look into him at all. And, you know, I think to go like, yeah, those movies were crap. Well, one, you know, that's not fair, because would you be saying that if the audience reaction was positive to it? I mean, critics could still beat the crap out of it, but just because the audience now doesn't like it, he goes, yeah, you know what, those guys are right. That's kind of, I don't know, a disservice to everybody who worked on that movie.
Right.
But, I will give him points, though, for going to Artist Alley and exhibiting his comic and not using his celebrity as leverage. I was actually talking to one of the guys that was helped set up my table at Chicago, and he was telling us about it. It's like, I mean, he could have easily done a panel. He could have gotten a booth. He could have, you know, done anything. Just walked in there and go, I'm Shia LaBeouf. I was in Transformers. A lot of people know that.
Yeah, you know? And it's like he totally almost doesn't look like him because he's like grew out basically all the hair on his head.
Yeah, he just went for it. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I'll give him credit for that because doing Artist Alley isn't easy. You're on your feet for, you know, 10 hours. You're trying to kind of process all this information. And I mean, let alone not knowing if somebody's going to, like, come up to you and go, yeah, you know, Transformers really blue and I blame you. Like, he's putting himself out there. I mean, no.
You can't blame him. You have to blame Michael Bay.
I like the theory that Shia LaBeouf was getting all that, like, you know, fanboy ire because he was living out, like, everybody's, you know, 10-year-old fantasies. It's like, oh, you're Indiana Jones' son and you're Optimus' best buddy. And there was, like, talk of making another Star Wars movie where he was, like, you know, like Han Solo's son or something.
No.
Well, remember, the thing that set me off on LaBeouf was that scene from King of the Crystal Skull. Like, at the very beginning where he and Harrison Ford first meet, and they're like, oh, they're getting away, quick, get on the bike, on the motorcycle, and Harrison Ford, like, gets onto the back of the motorcycle and puts his arm around Shia LaBeouf. I'm like, no, you don't make Indiana Jones ride bitch. Like, he's gonna push you off the bike. I can go, get off the bike, and just put your face in the dirt. Yeah, that wasn't right. It's not called, like that wasn't Buff in the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Yeah, but that's not him. That's the director.
Yeah, I know. It's more fun to put it on him, I think. It's completely juvenile, I recognize.
Right, right. All right, so we're talking about ending one's comic. And I just want to go over a couple of things of ways that people have ended their comics in the past. Leaving it on a cliffhanger, never ever coming back.
That's the meanest thing you can do.
Yeah, but sometimes it's not intentional. Like I'll constantly bring up Lemuel Pugh, who has worked on a Blanket comic, which is on hiatus basically because life happened to Lem. But there's, I think it was called something Winter or something. I forget what it was, but basically it got to the point in the story where this thing that had been building up, there's this scouting team had gone out, and the comic ends with the scouts are back, and nothing. So it's like, you know, it's like that was unintentional, but you know, just something like that. Not basically kind of a tease, and then you got some that'll end with a couple of characters getting married, and that's the end of the comic. And that's happened more often than once.
It seems to follow the same track as TV. How many great sci-fi shows get canceled with a cliffhanger?
Well,
Clone High.
Some of them know that they're being canceled, and so they'll pull out the stops. Melissa was telling me about this one series. I forget what it was, but basically they pulled out the stops, and they think like the world exploded or something like that, or there's this huge explosion and everyone basically should have been dead. But it was like it got somebody. Apparently somebody said approve them for 6 more episodes because I want to see what they do. They did. They pulled like a year before or something like that, or an origin thing. That's kind of interesting. There was this a TV show called Bob, which had Bob Newhart in it.
Newhart, yeah.
Yeah, where he was basically working on a comic book.
Bob.
Yeah, and in the show, it was actually part of the storyline that they were looking to get canceled. Their comic book was looking to get canceled. So it did end on a cliffhanger, but they also knew that the show was getting canceled. So the idea of that, at least in TV land, is that maybe, just maybe, the ratings can get up enough because of what we're doing that they'll let us have another season. And that's true. That's what happens. Why sometimes the stops are pulled out towards the end of a season, and it might not go anywhere because
that's what's happening with Tom's thing. He said he was canceling.
Yeah,
it's
a weird phenomenon. I don't know. I mean, I've not advertised the comic anymore. I'm not really producing more than I was, and I'm not doing anything incredibly drastic. Really, if anything, I would expect the numbers to go down because it's referencing stuff over the last 10 years that anybody new wouldn't know or care about. So it's yeah, I don't know if it's just words getting out and people are kind of coming back to look, but
it's like the local business that has a going out of business sale,
yeah,
like every year. You know, it's their annual sale is their going out of business sale, and people can say, "Oh, they've been going out of business for years."
Well, there's a joke. Was that like on Curb Your Enthusiasm or something where there was like a store called Going Out of Business? Like every day they're going out of business. They've been going out of business for 10 years. Because people go, oh, I got to get in and get these deals because they're going out of business.
Yeah.
I should have announced that my comic was ending years ago.
Maybe I should try that, but I'm afraid they'll believe me.
They'll catch on.
Yeah.
With the comics that I'm working on, with Ardra, which, you know, if anybody's been following Ardra, they kind of know what's been going on behind the scenes a little bit, at least. Got to sort of rework the current storyline, which if we finished Ardra, the current storyline would probably be good enough to finish it. There's only a couple of aspects about the Ardra where, I mean, there's not like an end goal except for one little thing, and it's been building up to a point, and all we need to do is have after a storyline, a few scenes, a few pages, and the big question or a big part of it can be satisfied well enough. Otherwise, it's a story comic, yes, but it just kind of keeps on going in quirkiness and fun. So there's not like War of Winds, which has multiple characters, plots, and storylines, and arcs, and just all this extra, you know, all this stuff. It's a lot more simpler.
It's like, there's only one character in Ardra.
Right. And honestly, there's for something like that, there's no way to really end it except for, you know, there's the one question about, you know, how she's raising the kids and everything like that, and how does that it's a very loose premise, and more, it's more about the adventure along the way, so it's a little bit easier to end, or to end here for now, and we could always pick it up, sort of thing, but I, you know, I still want to keep on going.
Well, I think the reason so many things, like, end with a wedding is, like, it's not that it's necessarily an end, but it's, like, a good kind of bookend. Like, you know, it's a good kind of pausing plan. It's like, you know, if you wanted to come back to the story, you could, like, you know, tell more, like, after. But,
right.
You know, at that point, it's like, all right, like, this is, you know, this is a good place to put a paragraph break.
Yeah. The actual ending to Ardra did have a wedding, but things have changed since then, and it would take too long to get to that point, and I even have ideas for after that, but you know, it seems to be that was the goal, that's done. Like, people think that, well, that's the goal in a relationship, to get to that wedding, to get married, and then people just think, well, you know, well, there's things afterwards. You know, a badly drawn kitties had attempted to continue after the wedding, and I'm not sure what happened. I think it came out to be a motivation thing afterwards, because, you know, you do kind of lose that relationship, because a relationship typically does change after a wedding. In most
then
cases,
you have babies and stuff.
Yeah, then they add a baby, and then it affects
divorce.
The comic effectively changes a lot of times. There is, or you can have, like, the D&D example: rocks fall and everybody dies, and you just say, "Up, it's over. Everyone's dead. You quit on it." Basically, the I give up or I've had it sort of situation where, I'm terribly not a fan of, and I don't know anybody who's done it in webcomics, and if anybody does, please leave a comment on the show's post, and we can check it out. There's also the sort of recap. Now, some movies do this, where, you know, like the end of, what was it, Animal House, or... And a bunch of others they have, like,
Animal
the sort
House,
of
American Graffiti and stuff.
Yeah, they have the soiree, the yay, and then they, like, freeze frame subtitle of so and so went on to do this, or so and so died of dysentery in Malaysia, or something yeah. crazy like that. It's been done, and I think there's been a couple of webcomics that have done that as well. Another
have you
one?
Ever seen American Graffiti 2?
I've not.
Because a lot of people don't know that they even made one, but they did it, like, really cleverly. Like, you know, for as far as sequels go, I was like, this is, like, a lot better than I was expecting. Because at the end of the first movie, they say, like, yeah, this guy died in a car accident. This guy got, like, he went missing in action in Vietnam and, you know, like, whatever happened to the other two. But the second movie takes place, like, it's the same kind of format where it switches back and forth between, like, the different people's stories. But it takes place on, like, the day that the thing that happened to them, like, you know, that it said happened to them at the end of the second or the first movie, like, the day that that happened. So it's, like, the day that the guy gets hit by the car, the day that the guy goes missing in action in Vietnam. And so you're just, like, waiting for that thing to happen, and they keep, like, playing with you. Like, there's, you know, there's, like, a part where the guy's, like, going out to walk across the street to, like, you know, pick up his, like, Formula One car that he's, like, crashing a field, and you just hear this, like, it sounds like an incoming truck, and then all of a sudden it cuts to Vietnam, and it's, like, a bomb falling. It was like, oh, man, like, you're just on the edge of your seat for the whole thing.
Right. They have you seen Hot Tub Time Machine?
Yes.
Kelly, see Hot Tub Time Machine. It is awesome. I'll just tell you that, there's time travel involved. These guys... At the beginning of the movie, we meet this one-armed bellhop, and they go back in time, and he has two arms. So one of the guys is constantly waiting for him to lose his arm. And there's, like, all these teases. It's like, oh, man, this is where he's going to lose his arm. And then it's like, ah, son of a bitch. You know, he's like, he's just waiting for it. It is a fantastic movie. It is more fun than I thought it was going to be. But yeah, I totally know what you mean. That sounds pretty cool. Let's see here. There's the recap. Oh, there's like the jump ahead in time sort of ending, sort of instead of actually just, you know, freeze cap telling you, they'll jump like a year ahead and so-and-so and so-and-so is married or and they have kids or you know, something like that. You know, just sort of they leave it open if they ever want to come back and fill in the blanks, I suppose. But, like, if you have, like, a sort of following and they really like to know, well, what happens to these characters, it's like, you can at least give them that just a little bit. And,
a smidgen.
And then there's, of course, like, just sort of a synopsis, like Karen was talking about, you know, end it there and then just say, you know, and do a write-up and this is basically what's going to happen. What do you guys think as far as, like, a preference on if you know if you're reading or watching something and if there's going to be an ending, how would you prefer an end?
I don't know. I guess it really depends on like the you know the context of the story. Like there's not like one fit all solution.
Well, okay. Let me put it like this: Would you rather like say for like a story? Would you rather, I guess you can compare it to like a TV show or just a comic you're reading. Would you rather, things to end with the possibility of coming back or just to end and finalize everything and say, settle down as like, this is our story.
I kind of like just satisfying ending where it's like, you know, like, all right, I'm content that the story is like wrapped up,
I'm not a fan of the kill everybody off thing. I never was a fan of that. They used to do it a lot on Doctor Who in the 80s. There's this one writer, and that was his favorite gimmick, was to show the struggle of life, and then, you know, everybody dies at the end. You know, oh, it's great, isn't it? No, not really.
Sometimes writers seem to kind of, like, write themselves into a corner where there's no real, like, concise, you know, there's no conclusive way to end a story and, like, you know, have it not even be satisfying, but just have, you know, like there's no good way to end it, and so they just kind of have to, like, drop it in, like, an open-ended way, because it's like, well, you know, if the good guys win, then it's going to be just, like, cheesy and corny. If the good guys lose, then it's going to be, like, you know, just more of the same, like, oh, look, we got to watch these guys get, like, picked off one by, like, you know, I watch tons of horror movies, and it's always it's kind of like the easy way out to just have, like, and then everybody died. Oh, life is futile. It's like, okay, great. You know, that was so original.
Or they wrap everything up, but there's an even bigger horror waiting in the wings. I love to take on.
I love endings where it's like, the end? Question mark?
I like how the Brits do it. They do what they call a series. Like, we would have a television series. For them, for those not in the know, for them, where we have a television season, they call that a series. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And that's it. And then if they're renewed, they just pick up where they left off and do another series.
Right. Well, they're shorter than our seasons, which are now only like 13, and they used to be like 26 episodes. I mean, I got old, I Love Lucy and Get Smart, and there's 26 episodes.
Yeah, there's like 20 or 30.
But we have a lot more hour-long shows, too, so.
Well, but, a lot more 42-minute shows.
Well, yeah. But, you know, it's like when you got, like, things like Doctor Who is like, you know, there's clearly an over-arc that's still in place. And that doesn't seem to be going to be, like, canceled anytime soon. The ratings are still strong, and they're selling and making money, and so they can probably plan to be a bit longer. Something like the IT Crowd, which, I swear, I'm really tired of their office changing. They are clearly on new sets each series, and it's kind of pissing me off. But
I have to be honest, I like the original Red Dwarf set that looks like it was on a TV studio stage. I always like that one a little bit better than the more realistic looking ones. But
well,
that may just.
The set they had for the first couple seasons of the IT Crowd, like, you know, it was pretty I don't know, analogous, but the last one was like way, like it looked like they were on a totally different like floor of the building. It was really well lit, and it was like you guys totally lost the dungeon cave atmosphere here.
Yeah. Yeah, there's just little things like that. But, you know, this is also another thing why I want to get Dave Willis on the show is because of... Or even... who's the people that do Penny and Aggie and all the... Basically, they're kind of reusing characters in other comics. Essentially, like, they're actors almost. And I kind of like that because... You know, you can end a story, but you still really like these characters, and I'm for that. I really like that.
The main character in Manly Guy is like Commander Badass. He's basically a character from another comic I was working on that like I really liked that character and I wanted to work with him, but I didn't have that story like finished. Mm. You know, it wasn't written yet, and so I was like, well, what if I just kind of like you know, like he doesn't look the same at all, but it's you know basically the same personality and the same kind of like role in the comic, but just like through working with him, he just developed this like totally different personality. So,
or you have Jay and Silent Bob. Crop up in a lot of different films.
Well, like Clamp does that a lot, I think. Like they, I mean, not that I read much Clamp stuff, but I'd heard that they kind of have like I think they have one comic that's just like characters from other comics that they've, you know, kind of pulled out and, you know, just totally interchangeably used like actors.
Let's see here. Well, we're getting down towards the end. I did want to mention my comic because I have to, because I always do. Ha ha. No, it's like
you deserve it. You know, you put the show together. You can talk about your comic all you want.
All his projects and all the ones that he takes on and all the ones he's about to take on are just so he can talk about his comic.
Yeah, basically, but no, it's like I really like my comic PSI. I like the characters a lot. There's a lot of things wrong with the story because I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I'm looking at it. It's like I have like 500 comics. Most of them are pages of some magnitude.
It's 3 days.
It's a couple weeks now. Come on.
Now it's a couple weeks.
There's been some time jumps.
5, 6 years?
There's been some time jumps. Anyway. Shut up. So we have...
So they're not camping anymore.
That was like the second day. Anyway, there's...
some zombies at the mall, I remember.
Yeah, there was that. And I've had a lot of fun with it. And... But I think the last storyline that I'm kind of doing right now... Which has been on hiatus for a while I think I can bring it home and just completely. I've meant to do this before and just close off all the plot holes and everything and plot seeds that I had planted. But whether or not do I make a new comic? Do I make a new name? Do I just keep on going? And it's like I don't want to like. End it, but I would like to finish at such a point where, okay, now I can just leave it here and I worry about other stuff and then I can come back later when I want to. But then there's like, do I make a new comic? And that's all sort of thing. So, you know, those are questions I have to consider, even though it's going to probably take me a year before I finally get to that point.
I really think there's like no problem with cannibalizing things that you like out of a comic that you're kind of like, you know, looking to, you know, it's like piecing parts out, you know, you're like, all right, so I've got this, I'm going to sell it for parts and, well, you know, pick out what I'd like of it and,
I don't
you know,
need
start a new thing.
I don't need to do that. I can keep all the characters in the world. And if I did start a new comic, the PSI would be the prequel, though I would...
Oh my god.
Like, it's there, it's added, but I would like make the new comic where you don't need to read that.
Yeah, it's like a spin-off series, kind of.
But like I'd start off with a nice fresh archive of not this early crap, essentially.
If you like a character, it's a shame to abandon them just because you started them. Like, you know, you started their story at a point where you like weren't totally sure what you were doing yet. Like, you've kind of fallen into a groove. Like,
but
you know,
it's not just the character. It's the world too that.
Yeah,
I eventually developed.
That's basically what I mean.
Well, yeah, But, you know, if anybody else has any sort of thoughts, ideas on, you know, anything we've been talking about, you know, ending one's comic, or other things that you've seen and when other people have ended their comics, are you contemplating ending your comics? We'd like to continue this conversation. You can, you know, leave a comment on the show post or leave us a voicemail. Next week, let me pull open the calendar really quick. I think next week we are going to have...
next week's our second week of the month.
Yeah. If anybody who reads Chimney Speak, we're going to have him on the show. Blanking on his name, but that'll definitely not be a safe for work episode. I am going to go out on the limb and guess that now, as his comic is very sex and violence. Yes, this is by Jack Kalis. If things go right, we should be having him on the show. That's for next week for Mother's Day. And on the 20th, I'll be at a convention, so there'll be no episode then. But on the 27th, I'm tentatively thinking about having just a general sort of Q&A show and just kind of just throw something together. And for that one, it might not actually be a recorded episode, but for some people know that I've been doing a non-technical sort of webcomic website evaluation. Basically, I go through a website and I give some suggestions how you can make your website look better. And it's been actually going pretty well for people that have been participating in it. And some people have actually utilized some of my suggestions, and some people really didn't need to change anything. So if you're listening to this and you might be interested, you'll probably just come around on the 27th. I'll post on Twitter, and I'll post on the Webcast Beacon Network's Google Calendar about when that will be, and then you can get on, and I can do like a live sort of thing, and we'll just see how this goes. I want to experiment with that sort of live show. Again, these won't be recorded because that would be incredibly visually not apt for a podcast, but
that'd probably work okay because I'm at my friend's wedding on the 27th.
Oh, that's fine. All right, so. Yeah. And also, Kelly, if you have any ideas for some future shows, just, you know, let me know. If there's some guests you want to try to get on the show, just let me know. Same thing for you, Mark.
What?
Yeah, if you have any ideas.
I can't remember if you're recording right now. Yeah, you're still.
Yeah. I'm trying to talk to a couple of people that have some ideas for some webcomic topical shows, which if I got it to work out, it'd be Webcomic Beacon 2, so to speak. A second crew that would be doing a couple of their own things to see how it goes. Because, you know what, we've been here for 230 episodes. And maybe some fresh perspective might be an interesting pace. And we always try some new... I'm always open to trying some new things. And so if that happens, I'm willing to see how it'll be received and how it'll work out. But that is it, and I should really shut up because I just keep on talking.
So what's the con you're going to?
Oh, it's Spring Con, and it's in Minnesota. Anybody who's in Minnesota can come check it out. It's like $10 to get in. It's at the Minnesota Fairgrounds. It's like $10 or $11, something like bring a canned food for a food donation as well. So go ahead, check us out over there. And you're making me talk again. Anyway, so we've had Kelly Turnbull from the Punchline is Machismo.com with Manly Guys Doing Manly Things. Thank you for coming back.
Thanks for having me.
I've been Fess of ArgerComic.com.
And this is Mark of AutumnLake.com.
Give me a sentence.
More a sentence. The quick brown fox. I don't remember the rest of how that goes. I guess that's more for typing. Syphilis. 1, 2, 3. Mic checks are important, don't you know?
Right, right. Yeah, usually when I do like an audio mic check, it's usually, well, this is me doing an audio mic check using my radio voice so I can tell whether or not the audio levels look like how they're supposed to. And I look a fool when I do it.